This is a wonderful time. It's just a time of prayers and prayer for people, encouragement and exhortation. I appreciate how active you are in worship. I think that's a very important thing, to be active in worship. This morning we're going to look at Psalm 23, if you'd like to follow along there. We're going to take a look at our great shepherd, Psalm 23. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to that. First, I'd like to have a reading of it. And this is our reading. Pretty fun, huh? That's a really fun reading of this psalm. What a wonderful, wonderful psalm. When people think about the Bible, very often they think about the do's and the don'ts, the shalts and thou shalt nots, instead of those things that are true about a relationship with God. A lot of things in Scripture are really in the indicative mode. That is, it shows what God wants or designs for us, and it describes a relationship that he intends for us to have. So that to me sounds a lot more relational. There are commands in Scripture. There are imperatives in Scripture. There's no question about that. The ongoing nature or characteristic of what God has for us, I think, is a relationship. And this psalm describes a relationship. God so loved the world, for example, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God is love. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's not surprising that passages like that are the dearest passages to people. Not only in this life, but also when we think about passing over into eternal life. Let's take a look then at the Lord, our shepherd. It says, first, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. If God is to be our shepherd, then we need to recognize a few things, and one of which is that we are sheep. That is hard for us to realize at times. Sheep, you remember, are some of the stupidest animals on the face of the earth. They are dumb. They are dirty. They are Have you ever really gone over a sheep or worked with a sheep at all? You end up a dirty, oily mess, don't you? So that's true of them. They are timid, defenseless, helpless, scare easily, sometimes just miserable creatures. And then to have God tell me that I am one of them, one of those sheep in his pasture. But if I'm really honest with myself, I know that's true. I know that I lack wisdom and strength. I'm inclined to be like Isaiah says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. I know my tendencies. I know my tendency toward being selfish, toward being the kind of individual where I am doing my own thing, thinking I know the best way to do it. And if Jesus Christ is to be our shepherd, I need to admit then that I need one. And that's where we have to start. That's what we need to discover here, the truth that Dave is saying. And if we do that, then we will not be in want. This is a little different phrase, that little girl that began to recite the psalm saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, that is all I want." What a wonderful take on that passage. That is why I won't be in want, because the Lord is all that I want. It's a gem of a psalm, only 6 verses long, and it has the power to bless us because it speaks to our needs and our condition. It speaks words of comfort to our souls. It inspires us to know that God cares and provides for us. This good shepherd takes care of 3 basic needs that sheep have: food, water, rest. He has the expertise to guide us in the right paths that lead somewhere. He gives us confidence and assurance to know that God has promised his presence to guide us even in life's shadowed hours. Our deepest happiness is to know that he's there and that he's with us and that he can help us cope with any difficulty. Our life has a center to it, a confidence and a peace when we look to the shepherd whose flock we are. With deep contentment, we can say with this little girl, "The Lord is my shepherd, that is all I want." Harry Emerson Fosdick, many years ago, used to tell about a shepherd that he met in the Holy Land. He asked him if he'd gone to school, and the shepherd said no. He said, "Can you count?" Again, he said no. He says, "Well, how do you know you haven't lost one of your sheep?" The shepherd answered, "Because I know them by name." And that's true of our shepherd. He knows you by name. He's called you by name. Isaiah 43 says, "I've called you by name, you are mine." And that is what a shepherd does. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Now, there are times in my life when that's been fun. I'm a little bit asthmatic, and I have allergies, so it's not a lot of fun some of the time. But if I get the conditions right, it's really nice to just stretch out in a scene like this and just look and to enjoy. What a wonderful way to depict the kind of thing that God does for us. The shepherd starts the sheep grazing early in the morning, probably before sun comes up, and they steadily graze and never are still. By about 10 o'clock, the sheep are full, and the shepherd knows that they shouldn't probably drink until their stomachs have digested the grass a little bit. So he makes them lie down in a green pastures, in a cool, soft spot. The sheep lying down chew their cud. That's the natural way of digesting something. Here it is, this wonderful, wonderful picture of our lives, where we could stop for a while, and because of God's guidance and leadership, cause us to rest and to reflect. Elijah, you remember, found God not in the earthquake or fire, but in a still, small voice that spoke to him. My, how we need these moments with our shepherd, where we can rest from what we're doing. He leads me. It's interesting to me that sheep are led. There have been a few times I've tried to drive them. It didn't work real well. I think I scattered them more often than I helped. The people out front usually that they knew when I helped to drive sheep, they usually just followed just fine. But where I was kind of controlling things in the back, I usually caused them some alarm because they'd run off into the ditch or off into a fence, and I'd have to go hurry them out of the way. They often are led better than driven. The psalmist is saying that this is the way I think that God is. He doesn't force you. He doesn't compel you. He leads you. He says, Jesus says, "Follow me." And always, everywhere, Love then draws us and calls us and leads us. He also leads us beside still waters or quiet waters. An interesting thing about sheep is that they get scared with moving water. They don't like to get around it. So the shepherd finds a place that's quiet. The sheep can rest and drink. And so he leads them there. There they can be undisturbed. The water is calm. We have sometimes to go through deep, turbulent water. In our times, these days, it feels like turbulent times. And it is partly. There is a lot to cope with. But there can be a calmness and peace. God can lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. When we are harried, when we are worried, there is time and a place with God who can make all things different. It says he leads me or guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in right paths. The word translated here, paths, means a well-defined, well-worn trail. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That sheep, even if they have a well-defined trail, wander off. They still need a shepherd to help them navigate the trail. You and I really are that dependent. We really are that dependent. We need the shepherd for this trail. He will guide us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the things that we really need is help with our choices, because we do face what you would call an anxiety-producing factor in our world today. What's going to happen tomorrow, next week? What is this economic downturn going to be? Some of us are without jobs in the present, and we're looking for work. There are many decisions that we have to make because of that. Our lives, our family, our neighbors, our business associates, all of those things seem to be so tenable on a daily basis. And we have all these decisions to make. How do we know we're making the right ones? Decisions are often crucial and frustrating. There's a classic story about a man undergoing basic training in the army. He was pulling KP and was given the assignment of sorting potatoes. This huge mound of them, the mess sergeant told him to put all the bad ones in one bin and the good ones in the other bin. Mess sergeant came back a couple hours later, found the man just looking at one potato, and there was nothing in the bins. The sergeant said, "Well, what's the matter? Don't you like the work?" And the soldier said, it's not the work, it's the decisions that are killing me. I often feel that way. Do you feel that way? It's the decisions that are killing me. They're so tough. We have to make countless decisions. Day after day, decisions which touch the lives of our children, of our families, our futures, their futures. They're difficult decisions. We need someone who knows the trails, someone whom we can trust. If green pastures refer to everything that nourishes us, perhaps these paths of righteousness can lead us around the perilous pitfalls here present in our world and humanity. When you are stressed, when you find life difficult, when the decisions press in on you, it's really easy to spaz out, to do things that you shouldn't, wouldn't do. I don't know why we do this. It seems like it's kind of the moth drawn to the flame. It doesn't make sense. Oh, how we need our shepherd at these times to be steady, to be principled, to be an example of someone under the care of the shepherd to our little flocks. We need him so. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice this beautiful thing here. God the shepherd is referred to as the one who leads. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. But there's a little change here about those devastating moments of life. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. This is quite a picturesque scene. The shepherd is leading the sheep back home at evening. The Hebrew literally says the valley of deep shadows. And that was taken to mean the valley of the shadow of death. That's why it's translated there. Shadows are kind of tricky with sheep. They don't like them. They get scared. You kind of do too. Walking through something like that, does that look a little eerie? The picture before looking up the valley, it kind of looks like a tough, perhaps difficult climb that it's hard to see the way. Sheep don't like shadows, nor do we. We don't like not knowing. But here is our shepherd who leads, who walks with us. And because of that, we can fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. We're also reminded of a couple of things. It says, your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod was a couple of things in the Old Testament. It was a club to fend off larger animals. It wasn't something used on sheep. It was something to fend off larger animals. So it's a picture of protection. The rod is also pictured of as a ruler who would hold his rod and in a sense, as his subjects passed under his rod, it was a symbol of his rule over that group of people. It was also a symbol of his protection over his people. So here is a picture. The rod is a comfort to this person. He stands there to protect me from whatever harm may come my way. And he's also calling me his people. I am one of his subjects. To know that you're named by the sovereign one as one of his subjects, one of his sheep, if you will, and protected by him is a source of great comfort. Whatever we face in these days, he is the one who protects you, and he's called you by name. There's also his staff, a picture of the shepherd, something that is useful. If you had to reach down and hook a sheep and drag them out of a place, you could do that with that. It's a picture also of something used to kind of guide things. If a sheep were getting out of the way, you could tap it on this side and kind of steer it. It's a picture of care, shepherd care. It said, your rod and your staff, your shepherd care, is a comfort to me. Now, we need to understand how this shepherd then tends his sheep. I've talked about this in terms of the rod and the staff. But sometimes we get an uncomplimentary view of God. When I go wandering away, it isn't like this. There goes Arden again. Whack! With a big club. No, it's not that. He's saying, well there, here's Arden, wandering away again. How can I help him? How can I move him back in line? How can I comfort and supply what he needs? He may have to discipline me. But when God disciplines me, I know it's always in love. He reproves and he corrects and he encourages and he instructs me. in the right path, or right living, or righteousness, dealing with me firmly yet gently. Says he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. That's just the centerpiece on a great banquet table. Wouldn't that be quite the centerpiece? This is a reference to Oriental hospitality in the Mideast. Hospitality to travelers was a custom as binding as any law. In some cases, it could mean the difference between if a person had to stay outside or come in, it could mean the difference between life and death. If a traveler was fleeing his enemies, you came to his campsite. You were obligated to take care of him for 2 days and the day intervening, while the enemies remained outside and circling your campfire. You would give that traveler food, drink, shelter, and protection. This is something that was really actually true to life in David's time. There was a time in David's life as he grew older that his son Absalom and a group of people rose up in a rebellion against him. They talked about what to do about it. One advisor talked to his son and said basically this, you know, your dad is a great warrior. And I don't think we should wait. If we give him the chance to attack us, then people are going to hear that this great warrior who battles like a large bear has started to move against you, and our people will be disheartened. So what I advise you to do is to tackle him first. And so he sent his armies out after him. It is Jonathan and another person who actually warn David that this is coming. David packs up his whole household, all of his animals, children, family, and they head off into the desert. Now imagine what it would be like to be a king of Israel, having lived in palace splendor, and to be run out of town by this son who wants your job and your life. And to bring this whole entourage out into the desert, basically, hungry, tired, weary, and worried that your life is going to be taken. We're told in one passage of Scripture that a few people came out to him in the desert and did just what I described to you. They provided the hospitality that he desperately needed. When he was driven into the wilderness, hungry and weary, it's recorded in 2 Samuel 17. It says this, when David came to Mahanaim, Shobai, and Machir, and Basileia, these three people, Shobai, Machir, Basileia, brought bedding and bowls and articles of pottery. They also brought wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, sheep and cheese for cow's milk for David and his people to eat. For, they said, the people have become hungry and tired and thirsty in the desert. This is David's banquet in the desert. It is literally before all the people who hounded him. In the presence of mine enemies, God set a banquet for me. God actually did this for him. It is a wonderful story. He experienced it firsthand, where God prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, that's the wrong picture. It says my cup overflows. I just liked it. The little guy's in the tank and it's overflowing. But you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's another picture of something that's happened. After you're tired and you've been banqueted, you'd had this great supper. That was quite a meal. They brought out the description that I read to you. What do? You get cleaned up. For us, it would be a good shower, probably. Or for some of you, a bath. I know. I don't get that, getting in dirty water and then getting out. But a shower, maybe. And then combing your hair and fresh clothes. You know that feeling that after you've worked really hard, maybe out in the yard or something, that really fresh feeling that you have? Well, that's what's depicted here. You anoint my hair with oil. That might be I put on some cologne, or I finally have some deodorant. It's part of getting cleaned up. It says, my cup overflows. So what he needed most from God, God provided out there in the desert. And now his cup overflows. I've been refreshed. One person said, a poor woman living in a small cottage, breaking a piece of bread for dinner and drinking a glass of water, said this. Now here's the piece of bread. Here's the glass of water. And she says, with all this and Christ too? That's the grateful heart, despite the circumstances. That's where we can live, with a sense of our lives being overflowing. You've probably noticed in the last few pictures this little thing down in the right corner. Can anybody help me out with what that is? It's the refresh button on a computer. What God has done for David by providing this banquet for him, this place to stop and experience rest and have food, is hit David's refresh button. And that's what he provides for you and me. If we'll stop, if we'll let him be our shepherd, truly be our shepherd, surely goodness and love will follow. The word literally is pursue. You remember he was being pursued by his own son and all those armies? He's building on that image. He's saying truly God's love, his faithful covenant love and his mercy will pursue me. It'll run me down. It'll look me out. It'll find me all the days of my life. That's how refreshed he was when he experienced the God who is his great shepherd. Let's pray. I'd like to invite our worship team forward if they would want to also, if you wouldn't mind just passing your friendship and worship cards into the center aisles, there'll be someone to come pick that up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your shepherding care in our lives. Oh my, how we times lose sight of you by what we face and how wrapped up in life we get, how wrapped up in the details of life. Oh, teach us the blessedness of coming aside for a while and experiencing your shepherd care. We commit our lives to you, knowing that you do all things well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.